Turn up. When? Turn us up, Craig. Turn us up. I need a joke of this today. I'll tell you one in a second. The listener goes, when? When? This year? Next year? Decade? All right, let's talk some trouble. This is the Nancy Skinner Show. I'm Nancy Skinner. I don't know how much trouble I've caused. I've just tried to do my best. Yes, it's this year. It's the economy to turn up in 09. Federal Reserve Chairman said today it'll begin later this year. A few more bumps in the road, however, before we get there, but that the recovery could start as soon as this coming year. I'm testifying before a Joint Economic Committee of Congress. So we're going to get into that, some stuff we didn't get into yesterday on the loopholes. The stress tests are coming up tomorrow, and that's going to be big news, actually. Actually, no, wait, Thursday they will be revealed. They got a delay of game because the banks don't want them to come out because they're not maybe not as pretty as everyone wanted. So we'll talk about that. But let's see. Let me get some housekeeping out of the way before we do that. Shameless plug, Vicky. I'm going to be on CNBC tonight at 8:45. That's an interesting change for me. So CNBC, they are doing a show. It's called CNBC Reports, and it got started kind of as their global economic meltdown show. Right when the thing started, when the economy started caving in, and they were doing specials every night. They turned it into, because it was like a daily thing. They turned it into a show, CNBC Response. And so they saw me talking on Fox the other day about the underreported stories and the overreported stories. And they do a segment on that. And so they wanted me to come on tonight at 8:45 because they talked about Fox. Swine flu, yes, overreported hysteria. And I got emails from people. Oh, I'm going to be getting into some emails today. Somebody who really took me to task because I wasn't taking the public health crisis seriously enough, that this is a killer flu. And, you know, it's not that I didn't take it seriously because I was way ahead of the avian bird flu when that happened. Obviously, I've been, how many years on global warming now? Let's see, 9. So since 93, so yeah, that's a long time to be saying we got a problem. Now that the Arctic is melting in 4 years. So it's not that I don't mind being an alarmist when need be. It's just that when the need isn't, and there are more important things to be alarmed about, like a countdown to a bankruptcy of an auto industry, I will also say that. The number is 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-646-2629 to the program. It is Cinco de Mayo. Doing a little self-reflection here and show business housekeeping. So that's the 5th of May. And do you realize that it was, let's see, so I started, I filled in for Randy Rhodes on the 6th of February. So it'll be almost 3 months tomorrow that I have been, I came in. If anyone, has anyone been listening since day one? Well, I know you have because I get some emails and I'm going to share them. I'm going to share the love with you coming up in the next break. But I remember I had no time for the show. I got the call from Anita Drobny of Nova M, a dear friend of mine from years past, saying, hey, can you fill in for Randy? And I said, today? Just, yes, today. So I just assuming that Randy was ill, showed up. And I will never forget that day because I've been on radio for a while. I've been back into politics and was a surrogate for the president during his campaign and working on that. But all I had was my headsets, my good old headsets that I've had for about 10 years now. They're worn out, but they're my blankie. And showed up at the studio. I was going to do it from my house, and that line went down. My ISDN, as we called them, line was down. So I got in the car, raced to my old affiliate, my old Clear Channel affiliate in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And had no time to plan, no prep, no sound, no guests. And I remember saying to myself, well, what are you going to do, Skinner? And I heard on the news coming in that, you know, all the news was the USA or the U.S. Air flight that landed in the Hudson River with Captain Sully. And so I called in and I said, hey, guys, can you get the sound? I heard the captain calling the tower saying they were asking him, you know, if he was going to clear this airport or clear that airport. He's like, that's a negative. That's a negative. We're taking it in the Hudson. What? You're landing it in the Hudson? I just remember remember thinking to myself, that's what you're doing, Skinner. You just have to land the plane in the Hudson River. And I did. I literally walked into my old studio, sat down, plugged my headsets in, pulled my old theme song out, Trouble, with me. That's it. I had my theme song and my headsets, and I sat down. Computer wasn't even working, as it isn't today, on my phone, because I'm in the same old studios. We had a trip up our studios. Our new studios won't be online till next week. So, you know, that's the way life is, the bumps in the road that Bernanke said. And I sat down, and as it turned out, one day led to, you know, fill in tomorrow, fill in, and obviously, you know, I, like everyone else, knew something was up. And then as the story was reported, it just, Randy left, and Nova M filed for bankruptcy, and I was in New York doing something else, and they said, well, sure, call it the Nancy Skinner Show, because, you know, it's a change of ownership, all this. We didn't know what to do. So we did, and we cranked up. We said, all right, well, this is, I had been working on a plan to come back and make my comeback in media after politics. And it was involving TV, radio, and the internet and a book, a whole sort of a multifaceted plan. Anyways, this just ramped me up much quicker. And we had to pull together because this show, to syndicate a show out of a, you know, a studio is more than just doing the show, obviously, on a network. You have to have it all wired up and go up to a satellite and all kinds of stuff like that. A lot of people don't understand. It's a little bit harder than it sounds. But we did that. Terrific partnership I formed here in Detroit with people that love this city and would love to see a show based on it here. And what good timing it was, in fact, that I was on the air these 3 months while Detroit was the focus of the nation's attention, while the global economic meltdown was underway, as that is my specialty, economics. So it was handy by that I happened to be on the air in that time period. And it's like just 3 months. So anyways, I am going to put this question out here. I'm going to get some emails. I've told you that We do now know that Randy's returning next Monday. That's May 11th. And so KTLK in Los Angeles and KPOJ in Portland are signing on with Randy, as well as my, and I hate to say this because I know I have a lot of fans in Buffalo, but I got an email today that Buffalo will also be carrying the Randy Rhoads show, and I will no longer be in Buffalo. So, you know, that's the way the ball bounces, and I'm happy for her. But I did this. This is funny. I did this on my show back in Chicago on WLS. I asked folks, I went to my listeners one day and said, well, what do you think? Actually, we were talking about the Senate race there. I didn't put my name out there. But what do you think I should do? 591-8900 was the number there. So I'm going to give you some emails because I have emails from all sides of the fence before we get into all our economic discussion and our guests, and ask you, the listeners, because you've been so wonderful in supporting my program. What is that, Krieg? Is that like the... I'm not dying. Just, is that like the a funeral march or a taps or something? Huh? What's the song?
There's some significance to that. I'm not getting it.
Oh, it's Cinco de Mayo. 1-888-64-NANCY. What's next for Nancy Skinner? What do you think, guys? 1-888-646-2629. I'll take your calls on that because I get so many emails about it. I'll share them with you coming back, and phone calls about that while I'm talking about what's being done to the automotive industry and the global economic meltdown. So here's your chance. People that have thoughts, either way, I'm going to open the lines up, let you talk about what you think is important. 1-888-64-NANCY on the Nancy Skinner Show. Show. I'm Nancy Skinner, 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program. I'm going to read you some of my emails. You know, I've always had, it's funny because I was one of the first progressive pioneers in progressive radio on right wing and going on Fox. I usually had this inundation of emails from right wingers that hate my guts. And I had a song. I used to play I Honestly Love You and read my love letters. I got some love letters coming up from both sides now, which I find to be a very interesting phenomena. 1-888-64-NANCY. So before we jump into the program today, with the news that Buffalo is also going back to Randy Rhoads and everyone else, I just put it out there. What the heck? That's what us talk show hosts do. What would you like to see me do? And Barry has called in. Hi, Barry. Where are you calling from?
Hey, hi. Calling from L.A.
Calling from Los Angeles. Well, thanks for calling, Barry. You have a thought on my future?
Yeah, I would like you to take the place of Jane Harmon. She has some problems at this time. Come down to L.A. and maybe we'll help you get the...
She's from Los Angeles? I know she was from California. She's from
part of LA.
Is she out of LA?
South LA, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll take that under advisement. It's that would be kind of a carpetbagger kind of move.
You're pretty disarming in your attitude. You probably get some legislation done as well.
I think I would, but I already did run for Congress, Barry, and I lost by 3 points. It was very close.
You don't have to lose next time.
Don't know about next time, but thanks for that suggestion, Barry.
I'll keep giggling on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Make sure you sign up on my website, nancyskinnerlive.com. Okay, so I had to revise this and be fair, sort of fairly represent the emails that I get, given the circumstances here. And so, since my old song was, well, you know, nice to do my voice, right, for my right wingers. You know how this goes, right? You've heard love letters. Dear Nancy, I just finished watching you on Bulls and Bears. Your smirk and Nancy Pelosi are the same. You must be from a different planet than most of us. I'm a Democrat, but I'm ashamed to admit it. Your kind sure doesn't help. I think all the power plants and coal mine workers should close down in the country and see how long we go without power. We folks in this country can survive.
Can you city folk?
Right. So that's how it normally goes. No, usually they're a lot harsher. So I thought, all right, I got to revise that. Okay, I need one from my friends on the left who aren't happy with me. And here's... Dear Nancy, you are the worst talk show host ever. You don't even know what true Democrats want. What are you, a blue dog Democrat? Republican light? We don't need or want you as a Democrat. We want Randy. You and Sarah Palin have one thing in common. You're both way over your head and total airheads. Please quit. Now go back to Fox with your friends, where you belong. Love, DT. Dear Nancy.
I can't read it.
Thank God, here in KPOJ Portland, we are done with your stupid show. And we get Randy back on. She is a true progressive. You are a... can't say this on the air. Republican light. Love, Barbara Myers. Thanks, Barb. That was really sweet of you to write that email to me. The pain... does not get into me. I know your devotion is there. My goodness. So, I'm feeling the love from the right and the left. That makes me feel so good. My head is saying, fool, forget him. My heart is saying, don't.
To let me know, should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know, should I stay or should I go?
That question seems to be on the mind of a lot of people. Right. At Nancy at NancySkinnerLive.com. It is the Nancy Skinner Show. I'm Nancy Skinner, 1-888-64 Nancy. We'll be on CNBC this evening, 8:45 Eastern Standard Time, talking about the stories, the overplayed and underplayed stories of the day. At least if I'd gone to Cabo, at least I'd had gotten a vacation, that'd be fine. Okay, like I said, I was going to go because I was completely prepared. And they're playing, overplayed this whole thing. I would have been fine. All right, everything's back open in Mexico. I'm just taking some calls and some emails, sharing with you the just the love, the slings and arrows, and all the love I feel about having hosted this show for a few months and being with you. Ed is in Sierra Madre, California. Hi, Ed. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Nancy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great.
You know what? You did an admirable job. I think ultimately we want to, create some thought. We want people to think. You filled in well. I mean, I usually listen
I didn't really fill in, Ed. I filled in the beginning, okay, but it's sort of a, I think, to say that to me is a little bit of a diss, because I did have my own show. Like, it was not a fill-in, you know, as the situation developed. It did not become a fill-in. If you go to my website, you can see we have our own whole program. There is no relationship, you know, officially with me and the former show.
I guess what I meant to say is, in L.A., they're... you know, there was Randy Rhodes, and then she was gone. I don't know, she had her issues, and she was off the air. Well, you've got a good show, then. Let me rephrase that. Your show is thought-provoking, and I think that's the most important thing, because when you listen to the amount, or you see how many people actually plop down in front of the TV and they're watching these karaoke shows and this dancing shows and don't really get the programming that you might get on a show like yours, where, it's information that they can process and regurgitate into something that might help, society. So I think what you do on your show is a good thing. I know there's some people like their coffee a certain way, and if you change it, they can't deal with it. But no, you did a good. You got a good show. I keep wanting to say, Phil. You have a good show, and don't worry about what people think. Just keep plugging away.
All right, Ed. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
The time to call. All right, 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 646-2629. Well, I know one area where I changed people's coffee up a little bit, and that had to do with the torture situation and my caution on that. Here's some breaking news on that as well. So the Justice Department was just about nearing the end of its probe about who wrote the secret memos approving harsh interrogation techniques. This, according to the Huffington Post. The AP got a copy of that letter, and there's a key deadline in the inquiry that expires on Monday. The letter that they have does not say what the findings of the final report will be, and it's those three lawyers, Jay Bybee, John Yu, and Stephen Bradbury. That's who they're looking at. Washington Post is now saying that they're launching a behind-the-scenes lobbying campaign to urge the Justice Department leaders to soften the ethics report criticizing lawyers who condoned harsh detainee interrogation tactics. And that would mean something like, so 200-page report, something like that they should be, there should be some sort of action taken by the state bars on, to which they are licensed, I think is what they're suggesting, but nobody knows. But I'll tell you what, I've been listening to, I got to say this. I've been, I've seen the MSNBC coverage, and they, last couple of nights, a lot about the torture, a lot about this, and it's not that I don't care, and it's not about the rule of law. How do I say this? I think that as far as this is concerned, as far as our priorities are concerned, and this is just not about, it's not just about priorities and we can do it all. I have tried to say in so many ways that we have some very serious problems in front of us as a country. And, I think that it's sort of illustrative, some of those emails I get. I'm a diehard Democrat, despite what you say, those people. I've put my skin in the game. I've run for office. I've dedicated my life to this. Probably cost me my marriage and everything else. Your emails that doesn't bother me, challenging me on how left my credentials are. I think it's telling, however, that I'm too left for the right and too right for the left, in some ways. And I'm not a moderate at all. I believe passionately we have to get some things done. It takes a really big person to, and I'm talking about all of us, to say what's most important and sort of put it, because I have as much, I was on the air before the war in Iraq, as I've said before, I was taken off the air because I was the only anti-war voice on the radio. It was more important to me just to speak the truth. So it's not as if these things don't anger me, and I wouldn't like to see these prosecutions if they broke the law and uphold the law. I am just saying that it takes, sometimes it's harder to put that aside and do what's right for the country and tackle these issues. There's a spiritual element to this too. There is that you cannot be as filled with hate on the left as you are on the right. Okay? You just can't be. Hate does not win. And I'm not saying that you can't prosecute and have this, but some of the vehemence that I see, it's like people feel like all the wrongs that we've suffered, and I was out there at the election 2000, which I have said was stolen from Al Gore, all of these things. You cannot, there's not going to be a moment where it's going to be made right for you. And I'm going to blow Frost Nixon for you. I have some sound from the movie Frost Nixon. And back then, it's like we feel like those of us who are Democrats feel so upset and angry at what was done with the war in Iraq and with the deficits blowing up and with all these the terrible things that happened. The list could go on and on and on. I get that. What I am saying to you, and I hope you will consider it, is that the way we come back at this is not to deliver as much hate stew as the other side does. That's hard to do, okay? It's much harder, but it's much more powerful than just you know, doing what Glenn Beck does, okay, frankly, and putting it back at them. It's much more powerful. Look at what President Obama did. If you want a case in point, look at what Obama did. Here, first African-American in history, he didn't run on the platform of hate, and we're going to get these guys, and they did this, and they did that. He did not. He offered hope. And hope is a much more powerful, it's a much more powerful force in your back, in your backside than hate. Really, ultimately, it is. It's harder to do, especially when you feel wronged, okay? That's really hard to do. But what will happen if we allow ourselves, and I'm going to say this, and who knows how things are going to play out, and I'll play for you this Frost Nixon so you hear it. If you think there's going to be this moment where we are consumed with getting Bush and Cheney, let's say it all plays out the way some folks want it to, and they guilty and Cheney goes to jail, if you think there's going to be this cleansing moment that you all of a sudden feel like the world is right because that happened, you're not going to feel that moment. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be contrition. There's not going to be, wow, we really did lie to the American people. We really, you know, you're not, that's why I'm going to blow Frost Nixon for you. You won't feel that. It's not going to be there. And what will have happened in the meantime is that real things that we could have been working on to make this place, this world a better place, that moment will go. And that's what concerns me about this. That you won't feel the satisfaction. And this, I get this email that until this is why, if we don't do this, then every other president will somehow fail like there. You know what? Even if you did get, if there was prosecutions and they were put in jail or whatever, do you think that's going to stop people who are bent on wrongdoing? Do you think that one instance, honestly, of throwing them in jail will stop it? No, I mean, it'll have, you know, I'm saying yes for history. You know, it's important. But the satisfaction that some people think they're going to get is not worth the price of what we will lose. Right now, cap and trade this week, big time fight about it. It's going to get completely lost in this. So I'm just saying it's, you know, hope is harder. Hope and being above it all is a much harder thing to do, but it's a much more powerful thing to do as well. Let's see. Let's go to Gary in Los Angeles. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Listen, I'm glad Randy's coming back. I missed you. But I have to say that I also have enjoyed elements of your show, too. For example, yesterday when you dealt with the contradictions that were coming out of Hannity and Limbaugh about the Chrysler bankruptcy, that was really good stuff and really well done. And I think you do that kind of thing pretty well. And I hope you'll end up someplace where you can continue to do that and that we have an opportunity to hear you. On the torture thing, if I might, you know, a lot of people disagreed with Nancy Pelosi's decision not to go after impeachment. And I think Bush was eminently impeachable, but I think politically she was probably right. That would have become the issue. It would have kept anything else from happening, and it would have kept the chain of that kind of thing going on so that the next Democratic president would have been subject to something similar. So I think it was probably a wise thing on her part to kind of try and cut that off.
I agree with you, you know, because this is the stuff that the partisanship that we all love in talk radio, but it consumes things. For those people, the people who voted, and I've had Republicans call the show and say they voted for Obama and they're so happy. It's the hearts and minds things. Those emails I get from when I go on Fox News, like, you made a lot of sense. And it's when you are able to just not shoot back spitballs at somebody else for a minute and just set your sights a little higher. Even when you've been wrong, that's harder to do. It's much harder to do because your tendency is to go, finally, we got power. Oh, my God, you did this. This could be endless. But the fact is that we need grown-ups in this world right now. We're at this really pivotal time in history, you know, for the economy, for the environment, for so much. that it's an indulgence. It's an indulgence to shoot spitballs.
Well, and I think the kind of the Rovian approach to politics is starting to sink of its own weight. I just don't think that the others see themselves in definitely their distortions and the way that they absolutely hate this man. And there's nothing that he can do right, but it seems like they're not getting through, and I'm really glad about that.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point, and I appreciate you making it, Gary. Thank you. Yeah, it's you're right. Okay, they've done it better than we have, and look at where they are. You know, that's the other thing. This constant focus on where's the soul of the GOP? This promo. They've done themselves in with all this ridiculous stuff. Okay, so why do we have to go digging them up, searching for them? That was the promo on most of the shows. So we have something to shoot at. I mean, we want it's almost like you're trying to help them to find themselves so that you can shoot them. What about, like, actually looking around? There's lots of other things we can talk about. When they get their act together, fine. We'll deal with it, okay? They're on a listening tour right now, trying to figure it out. But it's so funny. I don't like partisanship in politics, but I'm not going to help recreate them so that I can beat them up when we're beating ourselves up. Let's put it that way. Right now, and there's a lot of really heavy lifting to be done. 1-888-64-NANCY is the number to the program. We'll take more calls on the other side. It is the Nancy Skinner Show, 1-888-64-NANCY. Just threw it out there. My show for better or for worse. Emails and phone calls, I suppose. Let's go to Randy. Randy says he's a Republican. Hi, Randy.
Hey, hi, Nancy. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, hey, I'm a California Republican, which is sort of a dying breed. But I wanted to call and give you some love. I've been listening to you for the last couple of weeks. And you put a smile on my face almost every day. I disagree with most of what you say. But, you know, you attack it in a grown-up way. You make me happy to listen to you. And I'm going to miss you when you're gone. And I was sort of wondering, are you going to be out in California doing an appearance, a book signing? I would actually come and watch and listen to you anywhere you go.
Really? Well, I am working on a book, in fact, Randy. So I will be in California. I don't have dates certain on that, but I will certainly. Have you signed up on my website?
No, I haven't. What's your website?
NancySkinnerLive.com. One word, NancySkinnerLive.com. There's a little sign up, and so if I'm going to be out wherever doing the book and TV, we have some stuff in store that we're working on for the show, and a book is part of it, and I will be in California.
That's fantastic. Well, you know what?
I have one question for you, Randy. Did you ever agree? Did I ever change your mind on anything?
You know, I've agreed with you. You haven't changed my mind, but I've agreed with you on things. I can't actually pinpoint it, but here's the best part. When I listen to you, I enjoy listening to you. And that's the kind of person that has the opportunity to change my mind on some things. I will give you one thing that you maybe have changed my mind on a little bit. The torture debate. I believe that what they did was necessary to protect the country. I'm going to stick with that position. However, I'm torn because I sort of believe that you've changed my mind a little bit, too, that maybe there was a better or a different way to do it. So on that point, I think you maybe changed my mind a little bit. But the best part is listening to you, as I said, just makes me happy.
Well, you know, that's my job, Randy, and I think that's all of our jobs, is so if we could just, you know, create that level of we can have a good conversation together, then we'll solve a lot of problems. That's
you know what?
My approach.
So. Hey, one other question.
Sure.
you and Bill O'Reilly ever going to get together? I think that'd be a great conversation.
I've been on the show many times.
I think I saw you on it one time. I want to see you more on there because you're a person, I think, that stands up to them well.
Well, I was on last week or 2 weeks ago. If you go on my website, Nancy Skinner Live, you can see the video of me.
Oh, fantastic. Well, hey, Nancy, I'm going to get your website. I'm going to find out where you're going, and I'm going to keep following you because I think you're great.
Thanks, Randy. I really appreciate it. All right, you bet. Let's see. Where are we going to? We're going to Dean. Hi, Dean.
How are you doing?
Hi, Dean. Just getting out of your car?
Yeah, hold on just a second here. I was calling a couple of things. I'm out of Southern California as well, only I'm not a Republican. I'm a fairly progressive independent. And just to say that I'm sorry to see you go, leave Southern California, and complain to KTLA. Whenever you do leave, they will have lost the listener because I won't listen to the Randy Road Show.
Well, I mean, we're different. Randy's a great radio host. We're just completely different styles. I don't like the comparison.
I can't listen to the ranting and raving. I may agree with her on many of the issues, but the style that she goes about it, I can't listen to that. I'm interested in being to learn something when I tune into the station. I listen to Tom Hartman and I learn something. With your show, I kind of feel it's similar, that you talked intelligently about the issues. And I'm sorry to see it go. I can't listen to the other garbage, quite honestly.
Well, all right. You know, Dean, I got to run along here. I appreciate you calling. I say that there's room for everyone. I just have my own style, okay? And my style is... Hey, let's just all have a great conversation. We can have some fun. I certainly get riled up from time to time. I'm no princess, as you know, but that's just my style. So we will continue. I want you to hear this Frost Nixon audio. I got to have you hear it before I go. From Bloomberg's Obama plan on tax haven faces hurdles in Congress. From who? That'd be the Democrats. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, Montana Democrat, called for further study within minutes of the president's announcement that he was going to stop money from being shoved in a nut cave in the offshore havens, tax evasion, essentially. Representative Joseph Crowley, on the House Ways and Means Committee, said he didn't want any tax changes to harm Citigroup, his New York district's largest private sector employer, and others. So, folks, we got, we have the economy. Democrats are going to fight this. Democrats are fighting cap and trade, believe it or not, even though we have majorities, health care. I mean, even with control of the government. I'm just going through taking some of your phone calls and sort of sharing with you what it's like to be me. In this peculiar role I found myself in, before I grab your phone calls, which I will. Thank you for holding on. A few more emails are piling in concerning my future in this show. Let's see. Elaine writes in, I'm listening to your show today. I almost never do anymore because you frustrate me so much. You are so arrogant without any cause. Your take on the torture is totally wrong. We can do more than one thing at a time, and many people are in the process of doing this. We don't just have one person who has to do it all. And I resent your inference that those of us who feel differently from you are not grown-ups is insulting. I didn't mean or imply that, Elaine. And the fact that Republicans call you to tell you they're so happy with Obama is not because they've become a Democrat, but that Obama is so much a Republican. Really? That's interesting. Obama is a Republican? No. You have a very slanted view of what you hear and see, and the fact that you ran for an office means nothing. How many people have run for an office? The primaries, no less, and lost? Yes, that's right. I guess I did lose to the President of the United States in a primary. Shame on me. And I ran in a general, Elaine, and lost by 3 points against a guy who had 20-point margins. But I digress. Most of the thousands and thousands of people who run, and your background in finance, what do you have? A BS in more ways than one. Yeah, I have a Bachelor's of Business Administration from the University of Michigan. You're right. That's like a crappy internet degree, Elaine. I think you should go home or stay home and take out of Detroit politics. Perhaps you can do better with that. And the fact that you are a token Democrat on MSNBC means nothing also. They only ask low-rate people to talk on their channels or Republican hacks. So go home. Don't stay in national radio. And I disagree with your current caller, Randy, the Republican, who gets a smile on his face from you. He's agreed with you on things because you're mostly nothing. I wish you the best. But I will be happy to turn on my radio station next Monday and not to have to listen, to turn it on to another and not listen to you. Most sincerely, Elaine. Gee, thanks, Elaine. You want to send flowers? How about this? Love, love, love is the title from Charles. Republicans love Nancy. Republicans love Nancy. Na, 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 na. Republicans love Nancy. Nancy's such a grown-up. Na, 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 na. No, he actually wrote this out. But me, I think sometimes you act like a spoiled child. Na, 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 na. No, he typed that. Charles actually wrote that. I didn't. Let's see. To be fair, Gary writes in, Nancy, you have to be true to yourself. There's babies on the right and the left, which is even worse. Like you said, it's time to grow up. Perhaps you can try writing a book, a viewpoint of the political world from a former insider and how it shaped you and the progressive media in general. Whatever you decide, I wish the best for you. Gary and Dana writes in, hi, Nancy. I got to say, I'm going to miss your show on KTLK here in L.A. I preferred it to other shows and can't believe you're getting replaced. That's horrible. I like listening to your show because it wasn't extremist, nor was it too soft. You talk about the issues fairly, in my opinion, and I hope to find you on the airwaves somewhere. It's a brief letter, but I hope it's worth something. Don't let those rude people get you down. There are those of us that truly enjoy your show. D, I hope the rest of your day goes fantastically well. Dana, thank you, Dana. All right, 1-888-64 Nancy. We're just digressing a little bit. And where am I going? We are going to Brian in Los Angeles. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Nancy. Just wanted to let you know I've been with you from day one out here in Los Angeles.
Really? When I landed the plane in the Hudson?
Absolutely. I'm originally from Detroit. I don't know if you recall speaking with me that day. Well, anyway, I just wanted to, a couple of the callers actually made my point that I was going to, you should not change your style, okay? You can't defeat hate with hate. We have some prime examples of how love can defeat hate with Dr. Martin Luther King. And we get enough of that from the right. And you don't need to hate in order to get your point across. And it's very valid to listen to the other side in order to make an intelligent decision on what avenue you should take.
Yeah.
And also I would like to say that as far as the auto industry, I was with you all the way, of course, from being from Detroit. I'm a little disappointed in the way things are turning out, but I'm just going to bear with it. We'll wait. We'll see.
Yeah.
And the torture thing, I have to say that we parted ways, but you brought me back. And, you know, I would like to remind everyone out there listening that you are very similar to President Obama. Because President Obama listens to both sides before he makes a decision. And that's very important. So to be far right is not going to be helpful because, like the gentleman, the Republican that called in, had you have been far right, he would have never listened to you. At least you have him listening.
That's
and
right.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do, Brian. And sometimes you can over. I think we, you know, we've gotten to the point where they, the far right, has so discredited themselves. They're not even, you know, they're not even a force. And so we have media trying to look for them to prop them up so that we can attack them from the far left. And the point is there's a lot of Brians in the world who called in who are in the middle or center right that are willing to listen to us and like Obama, President Obama. I learned a lot from him when I ran against him. What a privilege that is. And I know that Elaine mocks my having run against him, but he had a lot of respect for me, too. Here's the thing. What I've learned is that look at what you could accomplish when you keep your eye on the ball. I mean, I know that this is something he doesn't want because he knows, we just had it with the swine flu. Sometimes the media oxygen, it gets just consumed, and he won't be able to get what he needs to get done. And the things he needs to get done are what we as humans need to be done. So as much as I would love to get my ratings up and just, you know, really, because I could be really good at that. I'm quite talented in that way. As much as I would like to, Brian, I just think that deep down it's not the way to go for all of us. And I think that the president is a case in point. You pointed it out. Look at how well the whole world admires this man, and he's not stooped. He doesn't have hate. And so for those people that write me and they say I don't get it, you guys are overreacting to the far right. They're nothing. What, 1 in 5 of people call themselves a Republican right now? Because the far right so overdid it, you know? They so overcooked it that people don't take them seriously anymore.
Right? And we don't want to become that, you know, that part of the Republican Party where it's just, we're going to get you. It's not about that. It's about coming together and solving the issues.
And then what? People will follow you, and they will keep following you, and the other side will just get, they'll be the dust bowl of history, and they know that.
They'll eliminate themselves,
right.
You know, by their actions.
If they haven't already.
you keep on keeping on, okay?
Thanks, Brian. All right. Appreciate the call. Let's move to Janice. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Nancy. I agree with his name is Brian.
Brian. Yeah.
Well, Brian, I think she's like Obama too. So you know, I tend to be probably a bit to the left of you. However, I love listening to somebody that's not yelling and screaming like on the other side. We get your honey bunny rush. I wanted to tell you that I'm going to miss you. I hope that you'll come back to this station. I think it's a mistake for KTLA to let go of you. So I don't know why everybody's getting so freaked out about this and angry, but I think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. And, you know, just write them a quick email because who's to say that you can't, you know, have us both? We're just
different
flavors.
Nancy, can I ask a
question? Sure.
I have a question for you. I've been listening a lot to the issue, you know, the Supreme Court, you know, vacancy or whatever you call it, you know, I don't know what they call it.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is it?
You mean the vacancy for the nomination to the Supreme Court? Uh-huh.
Right. And the thing is that I'm concerned that on MSNBC and all of our, you know, more to the, you know, Democrat side stations and anywhere that I'm hearing about it, that we're kind of letting the right define Obama's word empathy. And what I'm concerned about is I think he is right to use the word that right now the court is pretty much, you know, really heavily weighted with activist judges on the right side.
Correct.
And they don't want to see themselves as activists. But basically, in terms of, I'm not particularly religious either, but I believe in the golden rule. And I do believe mm-hmm. that law is tied to the golden rule, and that that we all, you know, have to look at walk in other people's shoes in order to be able to make laws. And so I think that whole line of reasoning by the right is ridiculous, and I'm concerned that we're not saying enough about that we have to, you know, I think that the right side, their activism is on the side of the wealthy, business, fundamentalist religion, abortion, if they want to say it, they're anti-abortion, but it's also taking an empathetic side. That's what they believe. So I think that we're wrong to let Obama be made to look like an idiot for using the word empathy.
Right. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, what is justice without empathy? I think that's a phrase, a famous quote. But, you know, that comes into the picture. You know, we've got to define ourselves. Don't let the other side define you. And the more powerful message, what packs more punch, is words like hope, empathy, you know, I guess they got compassion when they got compassion of conservatism, but that was a ruse. You know what I'm saying?
Those higher values have more, they have more juice. People, they aspire to those things, Janice. That's absolutely why I say don't take the low road, take the high road. Absolutely. Back that up. Of course we need judges with empathy. They're going to follow the law, but you can. Who's to say you can't have both?
I hope they'll start talking about it more on TV. I don't know.
By the way, when we come back, I'm going to reveal to you who I think that nominee is going to be.
Oh, cool.
Okay?
And listen, let us know. I don't know. Maybe let us know where we can write to you or where we can write to just say that we'd like to keep having you on the air.
Well, my website is nancyskinnerlive.com. If you're in L.A., then your station is KTLK 1150 AM.
Oh,
right?
Good.
.com. Thanks, Janice.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I guess I'm out of time. I'll take more of your calls on the other side. 1-888-64-NANCY, and I'm going to tell you who I think the nominee is going to be. Bulletproof, she is, or so you think. Nancy's going to show 1-888-64. Nancy John writes in as to why people think I am a right wing plant. One of his points is that you're consistently cool when faced with world class idiots on the conservative right wing side. It feels at times that in the face of utter absurdity, you're so cool that you. It feels like you are so thick-skinned, have no feelings. Even when you say you're upset, you come across as really icy cool. I see this as a right-winger trait of being able to completely disconnect feelings and emotions to an almost pathological level. The upside is that you have taught me that, like Obama, how to be cool in the face of the utter imbecile rockheads. But I think you really have to get in touch with your anger. Try it sometimes. I have emotions. I have anger. Are you kidding me? I think it's just not productive to scream at anybody. I've lost them. If I just start screaming them and call them a nutbag, then, you know, and whatever. I don't do the Jerry Springer thing well, I guess. You're correct. Let's go to Patricia's in Sacramento. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, Nancy. Hey, Nancy, I wanted to touch on quickly this piece of legislation that Obama is trying to push through on the tax havens for the multinationals.
Yes.
You know, I was deeply disturbed, too, when I read the report because I was expecting more so Republicans pushing back. But when I read Max Baucus, who was kind of hesitant and wanted a study done on it, and some other Democrats, even Senator Boxer, she didn't say she was against it, but she didn't seem too gung-ho in voting for it. But what's troubling for me, Nancy, on this is that there was a report, and Obama talked about this several days ago. In 2004, the Government Accountability Office showed that if the multinationals paid 2% of their earnings. So I ask people, anybody who has a business in this country, look at what you're paying as a tax rate. We don't get tax havens. If we operate a business in this country, hiring Americans to do the work, where we, you know, get the economy moving because of our business, but yet these guys who ship their, you know, jobs overseas get tons of loopholes.
Well, here's my point. Absolutely, and here's the thing that's so troubling. This should be a no-brainer, Patricia. This is about, you know, for those folks on the far right who've just been screaming about the deficits, that's why they had the tea parties. Well, this is them evading taxes, okay? $210 billion worth of taxes, where it's un-American to take that money, and what they do is they take it and they put it into their foreign subsidiary so they don't have to pay a tax on it. They're getting the benefits out of having America and the infrastructure that we provide and the educational system, and they're not paying their fair share, okay? So the fact that you'd think that this would be a partisan fight, and it's not. Who is it? It's folks that are worried about their constituents, Democrats that are even blocking him. So the idea that any of this is going to be easy, any of this, a no-brainer, even with a Democratic majority, okay, makes my point. We still have lots of work ahead of us, and it ain't going to be easy.
And a big old mess of partisanship isn't going to help. That's my point. Just like that, when you type it in, or it won't work. Shameless self-promoting little right-wing plant that I am on CNBC tonight at 8:45. What the heck? Get back to more of your calls. 1-888-64-NANCY. There is news. I did say, I promised you I was going to tell you who I think the Supreme Court nominee is going to be, based on the fact that I've been right about a lot of stuff, and my predictions have been pretty right on for a long time. But, you know, one of our listeners, one of the great guys who wrote in, is an expert in, has a fail-safe way to quit smoking, and I've always said I want to do some little good things for people, that I just don't want it to be about all the bad things, but ways that people can improve their lives. And smoking is one thing that really, if you can quit smoking, your life is going to be a lot better if you are able to do that. I know it's a very difficult thing for people who I know have quit, and so I've asked Rocky to join me. Rocky Rosen, he's a stop smoking coach is what he is, and he's got a website called freeforlife.com, and he's figured out how you can quit smoking easy, and he's a great, loyal listener to the show. So darn it, we're getting Rocky on the program. Hi, Rocky.
Boy, I don't know how to say thank you and how much I appreciate you. And I'm not talking about as being on your show, but it's just, what a waste for KTLK losing you. But hi.
Well, hi. Well, you know, who knows what the future holds, right?
I know that, Nancy. You're great, though. Guess what? Smoking has to do with being a progressive as well.
It does? What does they have to do with that?
Let's make it.
What's the connection between smoking and politics?
If you identify yourself as a progressive and you're not trying to stop smoking, what you're doing on a daily basis is you're not only contributing to the world's largest and most deadly drug cartel, you're also funding the most right-wing reactionary group in America. And they're not afraid to show their put their money where their causes are.
Right, so that's a good. So there you go. There's some more motivation if you, because you're saying that the tobacco companies are consistently.
Do you think they're progressive?
Not so much, Rocky. Not so much.
And I just wanted to. My whole thing is I try to educate people. I was.
Okay, so what do you do? Because I know we don't have a whole lot, but you said you figured out a way to do this, so
yeah,
it's painless.
Everything everybody knows about stopping smoking is wrong. Everybody thinks to stop smoking, they've got to convince themselves that they don't want to smoke, that they have to stop. And believe me, I'm a diehard, got to quit, never going to quit smoker. At least that's how I was. And I tried everything there was.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth about smokers is we do want to smoke. We just don't want to suffer the consequences. So the first thing I need people to understand is the urge isn't going to go away, so let's use it. Let's stand up to it.
Okay.
Next is...
I like that.
How
take it head on. I'm all about looking at your adversity head on and diving into it, obviously.
Exactly. And what you find out is it's not that bad. You see, wanting to smoke isn't the problem. It's smoker's condition. Smoking is the problem.
Okay, so what do we do with that once we get our mind wrapped around that?
We use it.
Okay.
We use our urges. We're not afraid of cigarettes. Next is how not to feel deprived. The biggest obstacle smokers have to getting smoke-free is learning how to overcome feeling deprived of a cigarette when they want one. And they feel like they can't have it. But here's the reality.
Just eat something. Eat something good?
Yeah. You never have to stop. You may hate yourself. Your health may suffer. You may die. But cigarettes are always going to be available. So let's be bigger than them. One of the things my clients do is they still carry cigarettes with them. So they always know they have the choice to smoke. Nobody wants to be told they have no choice. And now that no choice comes up, when I tell myself,
I quit. So you carry your cigarettes with you?
Yeah. Yeah, so you're not, because they're everywhere.
Right.
Look, smokers, ever run out of cigarettes? What do you think about? All you think about are cigarettes. When you have them, you think about everything else, and a cigarette whenever the thought occurs.
Losing sex, I suppose.
But let's get focused on our benefits. what really counts, better health, better life, more energy, not being a slave.
Yeah.
And I get people very focused very quickly, how to stand up to them, how not to be afraid of them.
Okay, and is that, so, I mean, you know, here's what you're tapping into that I'm connecting with, Rocky. And this actually connects into my politics, my whole rubric, my philosophy. What you think about expands, okay? What you keep put in your mind, what you obsess about has reality out there, okay? And if you don't think that, you got a lot of reading to do, because it does. And so it's so powerful when I say we can't fixate on just, if you are for war, as Mother Teresa would say, you know, if you're fighting war, you got war on your mind, the good things aren't going to come in. So the best thing you could possibly do is you know, change your mindset and stop focusing on what you don't want in your life.
Exactly.
That's like Wayne Dyer congested into a sentence. But stop focusing on what you don't want and focus on what you do want. So if we go, Rocky, I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but I got a bunch of callers who are listening. If we just want to focus on the torture, I mean, literally, I can't even stand seeing those pictures. Yes, laws, if laws were broken, we have to do that. But there are some people that, in my mind, want to focus on that darkness and get those people. So I have some callers on the screen. It's, if you don't do it, it's setting a precedent that it's okay. Well, no, I'm not saying you don't, and it doesn't set that precedent. But honestly, if that's where you decide to put all your attention is on torture and prosecution of the former administration, you have pushed aside, you have pushed out of the space, literally, the opportunity to do what is right. So now I'm combining Oprah with Wayne Dyer and Rocky Rosen from Stop Smoking Coach, freeforlife.com, a little of that. So there is some philosophical import to what I say, folks, when I'm ranting about this. It's not that I don't believe laws, if laws were broken, but there are a lot of laws. Every single law that they've broken, we would spend the next 8 years, if we had to go back and try and figure out every law that was broken, then that would be, you know, 8 years worth of us not getting done, because we have not created the space to get done what we need to, where lives, where humanity, where the planet, where suffering is on the line.
Nancy, we're not in the middle of a swine flu epidemic. We're in the middle of a cigarette smoking epidemic right now.
I'm sorry. Okay, back to that. So, yes, how many people die from smoking every year? 400,000?
443,000 plus.
Okay.
That's more people that die in fires, suicides, homicides, auto accidents, plane crashes, train wrecks. The two wars were involved in all other drug and alcohol abuse and AIDS combined.
Okay. So, but only like 10% of those people who try to quit actually can quit? Something like that?
It's a very low number. But over 50% of smokers try each year. I'll have you off cigarettes in 3 days.
How?
No gimmicks.
How?
Teaching people how to use the urge, not fight the urge, how to stay focused on the benefits, how to think in a different way.
Okay.
Stop trying to fight it all the time. How to embrace the urges, not fight the urges. I know that sounds hippy-dippy, but it ain't. It's just taking something that you think is a negative and making it a positive.
Well, your mind, Rocky, is a very, very, that's what I'm saying. Your mind is a very powerful instrument.
You think?
I think. Me thinks. And so if people, you can prove it. Like, if you start, one of the great examples here is to start to think about a lemon, folks. All of a sudden, think about the lemon, look at the lemon, think of, you know, taste the lemon, smell that lemon, cut it in half, see the juice spraying, see it up close, what does it smell like, feel the texture. What's happening as I say this to you?
Thinking about
your mouth is watering, right?
Yeah, it is.
You have a physiological response to an image I described to you verbally. That's your mind actually changing the biochemical, processes of your body. And it took 2 seconds to do that. So, or 10. So,
think about your better health. Think about your self-esteem. Yeah. Think about your freedom. Think about not being a slave anymore.
There you go. Freeforlife.com, Rocky. That's good stuff you're doing to help people, because I know it's a tough thing to do, is to quit smoking.
Yeah, it's not as tough as you think.
But, yeah, if you use your mind, the power of your mind, right? Okay, Rocky Rosen, thank you so much. Freeforlife.com is Rocky's website. Go check it out. If you're smoking, folks, come on. There is life past that, and we've got more important things to deal about this, right? Someone actually wants to discuss the Chrysler situation. I thought you guys didn't care about the auto industry. I'm shocked. You care? Someone cares? Okay, great. I thought I was beating that dead horse. 1-888-64 Nancy, if you're on the line, hang on the line. It's just a crazy day. Where's the moon? Is there some, is it like a full moon or something? Seems weird on the Nancy Skinner Show. Tuesday on the Nancy Skinner Show. 1-888-64 Nancy, wrapping up programming and feedback hour, I guess, since we all know what's going on in the news. Well, you know, it's the same old double economic meltdown. Yeah. Hi, Pam. Pam's in New York. Hi, Pam. How are you? Let's talk about Chrysler.
I guess you didn't want to say Chickawaga.
Say what?
I'm from Chickawaga.
If it wasn't on my screen, I would say Chickawaga. That sounds like a nice, is that an Indian Native American name?
It is. It's the only one in the world, actually.
Really?
Outside of Buffalo. Yes. Now, the hedge funds do not want their names released. They don't want any responsibility for any of these problems that they have caused at Chrysler.
Yes, that is true. I covered that in detail yesterday, that the lawyer, Tom Loria, decided that he's asking for a gag order so that the hedge funds who are taking Chrysler into bankruptcy.
Well, the $4.5 billion loan from Canada and the United States is going through. That could destroy our whole continent by wiping out a car company.
Yep. Well, I mean, it would certainly take a toll on the economy. Global warming will describe will take out our continent. What's that? I'm sorry, Pam?
I only drive Chrysler.
Okay. Well, you know, I drive a Chrysler Sebring, but I think that there's some great cars. I want to get a Chevy Volt. That is my goal, is to be driving in a Chevy Volt. The first fully automatic electric vehicle. It's American made. Kicks the Prius's butt.
Well, I would like to buy whatever. I have a 2000 Neon. I bought it new.
Mm-hmm.
Very little problems with the car.
Yeah. Well, they're good cars. People don't know. Pam, thanks a lot. I got to run along. I got a bunch of calls. But I appreciate you calling. Are you listening from Buffalo?
Yes, I am.
So you know, we'll no longer have the opportunity to listen to me because as of the end of this week, Buffalo is going to have Randy Rhodes back on, and I won't be here. So I want to thank you and thank the rest of my listeners in Buffalo who've been so good to me.
I got to go out and buy Pink album now.
And sign up on my website, NancySkinnerLive.com.
I've been on there.
And get Pink. Yeah. And
yes, I have to.
Okay.
I never heard that song. I fell in love with it.
Trouble?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to keep causing trouble. You better believe that, Pam.
You better.
It's in my blood.
That's the way, and you do it logically.
Thank you, Pam. I appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks.
Let's move along to Tom. Hi, Tom. Tom is in what, Los Angeles? Hi, Tom. Oops. Hold on. That's not Tom. This is Tom. Hi, Tom.
Nancy, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now.
All righty. Hey, first off, I want to say that I really grew to like you as a talk radio show host. What was a stumbling block for me in the early days was the fact that I felt like, number one, I'm from Wisconsin originally. My parents live in a smaller area, but they, as an example, can't get any other alternative on their television except for Fox. So, and I just felt like when you first came on, it was like, I know you didn't get paid for it or anything like that, but I felt like every two words that came out of your mouth were Fox, 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 Fox. And honestly, to me, I would like to see an alternative like you're talking about where there's not an extreme one way or the other way. And I honestly believe that, and maybe I'm crazy, but I think that Rachel and Keith, as an example, on MSNBC do think about things logically and do bring things to more than just dogma and more than just hatred and all of that. And I just thought when you first came on that it was just Fox, Fox, Fox. And then I felt like you kind of toned down the that you're on that show so much and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I would love to see you on, you know, more of a middle-of-the-road, I think, progressive station.
Well, then, you know what? Like why tonight I'll be on CNBC, but here's a suggestion.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you write Rachel? I love them. I think they are so logical. I watch that all the time. I go on Fox. I watch everything so that I get all viewpoints. But why don't you write them and say, hey, Nancy Skinner is fantastic. Why don't you ever have her on? There's a suggestion for you because I would love to be on.
I absolutely agree. I think Tom Hartman should be on. I think you should be on. I think that, honestly, the way I even got to know who you were in the first place, that kind of gave me just the credentials to listen to you was about a year ago when you were running for Congress. Randy actually had you on her show, and you guys really seemed like you're a really great friend. And it just seemed to me that it was a good, you know, fit in terms of what was happening. And I just really want to say that, you know,
Randy did a fundraiser for me, and
exactly.
people don't even realize. Randy did a fundraiser for me. I was on her show. So this idea that there's some, we're just different in terms of our radio style.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean that we are somehow politically opposed or that we don't like each other. Mike Malloy, you know, he was a Nova M host. He's KTLK. Are you in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
So Mike and his wife and I have been friends for 10 years. I mean, and we are, Mike and I have full fight like cats and dogs because he is far, far left. And
absolutely.
You know, it's sort of funny, but we're dear friends. We talk all the time.
Can I ask you one quick question?
Sure.
The one quick question I want to know is, you know, we've been kind of taught through progressive radio because of the fact that we did need to have an opposite point of view rather than just what we had heard on the right. And we fought really, really hard to get that progressive side. That why is it that in places and small towns and places, you know, in like rural Wisconsin and places like that, that they don't have the ability, even for some reason, to get more of a middle of the road balanced type either radio or TV show? They're forced to watch Fox, and then Fox, of course. I mean, all I see on there is dogma.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you this, Mike, because I've, you know, obviously this has been, media concentration is an issue near and dear to my heart.
Right.
As I watched it, because what happens is you have five media companies in this country.
Yep.
And there was something, the Telecommunications Act, that actually Bill Clinton signed that allowed this massive consolidation. So,
exactly.
Like, for instance, the channel that KTLK is on is Clear Channel. They're one of the biggest monsters. Okay, I mean in terms of, not like mean, in terms of big. But they bought up a ton of stations. And so they also, you know, they own Premiere that syndicates Rush, Hannity, and Beck. They own so many stations. And when you have that kind of syndicated power and you have the same thing going on, what you have is an aversion. You have corporate media who are there is an aversion or fear of this vibrant debate going on, right? Because there are often self-interest. The biggest lobbyist in Washington is the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB. The media are so powerful. And so the idea of even talking about the Fairness Doctrine has, as you can tell, the right wing so crazed.
Yeah.
Because they say, oh, this is an effort to sort of take us off the air. Well, the fact is, on talk radio, they control 99.9% still to this day, Tom. So my point is this. To be able to really get into the ranks of a Sean Hannity and a Rush Limbaugh, you can't be just the opposite of them. There's got to be some, both voices, that middle America can, everybody has a chance to listen, agree or disagree.
And Nancy, I think that's the reason why you're getting the blowback from a lot of people that are progressives, is because of the fact that they're so afraid that there is no other outlet, there hasn't been any other outlet, and then you have people like Tom Hartman and Randy.
I hear you, and you are absolutely right, and I only have 10 seconds left. You're right. I don't know how to say it. You're right. But do we want to be marginalized forever, or do you really want your voice to shine and be heard?
Send me in the outer space. At my fingers, I'll be jeweled with diamonds and gold.
I think so. Let me do what I do best. Cause a little trouble. 1-888-64-NANCY on Nancy Skinner Show. We're going to get the latest. This is talk about days of our life. The latest bankruptcy proceedings and other happenings around the auto industry, which actually does have an impact on your life. In the next month or so, as much as we could all have a lot of fun speculating on Supreme Court nominees. Oh, remind me, I got to tell you that later. And all these other things, the thing that's really going to affect whether Ben Bernanke is correct in his assessment that things are going to shape up in 2009 is if, in fact, they are able to structure a restructure the auto industry and get them back on track. And that is as blunt as I can be. And so what that means for Chrysler is we got to watch the bankruptcy court proceedings that are ongoing. And what it means for GM is yet to be seen, but lots of developments going on in the meanwhile. So joining me to get the skinny is Joanne Mueller. She's the Detroit Bureau Chief of Forbes.com. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
All right, so let's start with Chrysler. I've been covering, obviously, the auto industry from... are you based in Detroit, obviously, if you're with Forbes?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so am I to the rest of the country, trying to convince people that there are more important things than the swine flu going on, believe it or not, and talking a lot about the auto industry. So the Chrysler, what happened today in court? They got a one-day reprieve from the judge. This is the hedge fund lawyers led by Tom Loria. Got a one-day reprieve on whether Chrysler could go forward with Fiat in terms of their merger, because they're saying, that's my moolah. You can't transfer any assets for the future. We just want that money to be liquidated and given to us hedge funds, right?
That's right. And I think this is the beginning of what we all fear about President Obama's idea that this is going to be a quick and surgical bankruptcy. I think that... you know, what happens this week is really an indicator that, you know, this is not going to be easy. And there's going to be a lot of fighting, and this may drag on, unfortunately.
So what happened today? What action happened today?
Well, you know, I'm in Detroit not covering the court proceedings themselves, but I think the most interesting thing is that the lawyer for the hedge funds is... asking for these investors to be anonymous in court, which is highly unusual.
Right.
But they claim that they're getting
Oppenheimer funds and capital. What is it? Stairway Capital and I'm sorry, who else?
Well, those,
who wants
those
to be?
Those have been outed already. Perella Weinberg was one of the other very high profile investment funds that. Had been opposed to the Chrysler restructuring, but changed their mind after President Obama called them a bunch of speculators. But of course, by that time, Chrysler was already forced into bankruptcy, so it didn't really matter.
The damage was done.
Yeah.
We don't know any more of these names who want to be anonymous.
Not yet. You know, they are, you know, there's a lot of people
because they're
involved.
So not going to be anonymous as long as I'm breathing. Honest. My website, folks, nancyskinnerlive.com, the minute we find out who they are. Because you cannot take an industry through bankruptcy proceedings and say, I'm sorry, that somehow what is normally, you know, the open daylight of transaction business should somehow be anonymous. You can always use that.
Exactly. Especially since they put them into bankruptcy in the first place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a public figure, so I mean, you get all kinds of wacky stuff. Anyone who puts himself out there or goes to court, we're all subject. That's just called the way it is. So I just think that's so ridiculous. Okay, so we don't know. They've delayed that. So far, Gonzalez has not weighed in on that argument, because that's pretty potent. If they can't commence the partnership with Fiat, then, you know, that really stalls it. But if this judge says, you know what, I'm going to allow that sale to go through, I think that will indicate to us whether this judge is going to go along with the majority of the parties who do want to see a restructured Chrysler. Right? Is that our smoke signal we're looking for, Joanne?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this will go through, you know, eventually. It's a question of how quickly and how much damage is done while Chrysler is in bankruptcy. The most important thing is to get the company out quickly let this deal go through and see if there is a way to rebuild this company.
Right. And now, so there's another element that now they're considering Fiat is considering taking over GM's European arm, which is called Opel. So you could potentially see a worldwide Chrysler transformed into a player on the world field with this partnership.
Well, this is a very interesting development, actually. Fiat is sort of an also-ran. They're big in Italy and a few other markets in Europe and South America. But, they're going to, if they are able to swallow Chrysler and GM's European operations, they very quickly become, I believe, the second biggest car maker in the world. And that's good news for Chrysler if they can then leverage that and turn it into, growth outside of the United States especially.
And if they in turn start making, because that's part of the deal, start making those fuel-efficient vehicles here in the United States.
Exactly.
Which is really what the president and the taxpayer is concerned about at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, before we move to GM, there is some breaking news that the House has reached a compromise on the cash for clunkers arrangements, which is, everyone says we really got to get the sales up no matter what, and I have lots of thoughts on that as well. But what we're hearing is that, I guess Sandy Levin, Congressman Levin, tweeted on this earlier, that they do have a deal. Do you know what that looks like, what the deal is?
I don't have the specifics of the deal. I do know that they have been working this out, and I think everybody agrees that this is a good piece of policy. I think this actually stimulates sales, and that's ultimately the best way to repair the auto industry rather than dishing out lots of loans is get people buying cars again.
Hmm. Okay, well, I'm just seeing some details on the local paper here, Free Press. It's basically that the better gas mileage you're, so cash for clunker, folks, is if you got an old car that gets really, really bad gas mileage, you turn it in, you get a voucher to turn it in. And what they've done is they've tiered it so that the higher the mileage car that you're buying, the higher the voucher. Upwards of, let's say, up to $4,500 would be the most you could get if you go to the maximum. Let's see, they have at least, the bottom is 22 miles per gallon. But we're already, Ford and all these, they have 40, Fusion is 40 miles per gallon, 42 right now. GM has a whole host of vehicles already in that range. So people have a lot of choices in terms of high mileage vehicles that they could use these vouchers on.
Well, they really do. And I really think that this could move the needle. That's serious money, $4,500. Sign me up, I would absolutely trade in a car.
Yeah.
And it really, it accomplishes two things. It gets car sales up and it gets us moving to more of those fuel efficient vehicles. And, for all the talk about hybrids and all that, the internal combustion engine is getting really a lot more efficient and there's plenty of room to make them even more so. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity there.
In the interim, I think there's a future that's technologically way down, and we're well on that road, but we've got these vehicles right now sitting in dealerships that can be sold in a lot more efficient. All right, so let's move on to GM. My guest is Joanne Mueller. She's the Detroit Bureau Chief at Forbes.com. GM, a lot of people, they're watching Chrysler, went into bankruptcy court, not so pretty. And they had 46 creditors that were able to essentially wrest control and bring them into bankruptcy court. General Motors has tens of thousands of creditors. So it's a whole different deal, but their creditors aren't secured. So they don't have as much power. There's more of them, but they don't have secured first lien loans. So how does what happened to Chrysler, Joanne, shape or affect at all what's happening to GM?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I do think that this is a bit of a trial balloon. I think this is why the Obama administration had staggered the deadlines for these two companies. They wanted to see what's going to work in the case of Chrysler and how that can be used or changed if necessary in the case of GM. I happen to think a bankruptcy at GM is probably inevitable for the very reason that you mentioned, is that these bondholders are never going to come to agreement. Now, the only caveat, though, that I have is that there was something very interesting. When Chrysler went into bankruptcy, they sort of surprised a lot of people by also announcing that they were shutting all their factories for the duration of the bankruptcy, which they predict to be 30 to 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, that's a long time, but if it drags on, it's a really long time. And I think that that puts so many other players in the auto industry at risk, both the suppliers and then the other major automakers who depend on those suppliers, including General Motors, that that may scare people into playing along in a way that they might not have been likely to before. They can't
Davey, it was Thursday the announcement was made, I think. Friday, they already were shutting down. Suppliers were shutting down as soon as the filing was done.
Oh,
some small, and Warren Plant, and I forget what the names of some of the smaller suppliers were shutting down because they were afraid they weren't going to be paid. I mean, kind of like swine flu fear. This, you know, spread, it can spread in a way that's completely unrealistic with sort of the bigger picture and the longer-term outcome. So that's why I think that the judge, I mean, why I'm following what's happening so closely and the tendencies, the predilections of Arthur Gonzalez. I can't believe that our fate here in not only Detroit but the country, you know, what's art like to eat? What does art do? Who is Arthur Gonzalez? You know? It's crazy. Like, who is this man? Judge, we knew more about, what was that guy, the O.J. Simpson judge?
Judge Ito.
We have no nothing. He had no. It was just one case. This is we should be knowing about Arthur Gonzalez. All right. So you think bankruptcy is inevitable? Is it? Do you think because they have to extinguish dealers and bondholders, and it's a way for them to sort of downsize? The only way for them to downsize in a way that they see is viable.
I do, and importantly, I think it's the only way that the Obama administration sees it happening. And frankly, they're the ones in the driver's seat right now. The government's going to end up owning 55% of General Motors, or 51%, I think it is. You know, so they get to decide, and the change in leadership at General Motors was part of that. I think Chris Henderson's willing to go along.
Give me your two cents on Fritz Henderson. I met him briefly the other night. He seemed to me to be as charismatic and as in touch as I have ever seen any leader of any car company here. And he seemed to me like the guy that could really pull this off.
Well, he's really a sharp guy, and he's really experienced around the world with doing these really difficult restructurings and turnarounds. And, you know, I think he's got a hand he has to deal with, but I think he'll do the best he can. Whether he lasts or not, I'm not really sure, frankly. I suspect that eventually there'll be new leadership. But, you know, they're giving him a chance.
You know what, because Joanne, I talked to him. I was at the NAACP dinner a couple nights ago, and I told him I'm on talk radio, and I talked to lots of people about the industry. And he stopped and wanted to hear what people were saying. And, you know, his people wanted him to move along to the dinner, and he wanted to hear. And, you know, to me, that's real leadership. That is when the CEO wants to hear what people are saying, there's a connection there that will serve him so well.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a different sort of leadership than we've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I had big thumbs up when I met him. Joanne Mueller from the Detroit Bureau of Forbes.com. Thanks so much, Joanne. Keep us informed, okay?
Okay, will do.
All right.
Thank you.
Great. So, I mean, it really, this what Arthur Gonzalez does, folks, you don't even know this guy, but really, Art, see, too, he runs marathons. That's good. he's going to decide this. And it has such a huge impact. The cascade, as she said, the suppliers, as I said many times, whether GM files, takes down the industry, 1 in 10 jobs. I'd like to be, like, next to Barack Obama. You know, well, I'd rank them like this. Worst, toughest jobs in the world right now. Barack Obama, Tim Geithner, Arthur Gonzalez, then Nancy Skinner. Oh, Lordy, Lord. More of your calls coming up. 1-888-64-DANCE. Detroit turns. so does the economy. Like it or not. For now, folks, that's the way it is on the Nancy Skinner Show. 1-888-64-NANCY, that is because the ripple effect of the manufacturing base going down, it would be so enormous. The tsunami, if you will, would be so big that I'm actually spending time on it. UAW slams GM plan for depending more on imports. The latest news coming across the wire. UAW is objecting to General Motors' newest restructuring plan in a letter to Congress today, saying it depends upon increasing imports from other countries over U.S.-made vehicles. And they are urging lawmakers to call on President Obama to tie any further government assistance to GM on maintaining the maximum number of jobs in the United States. See, my view on this is that we can rebuild market share, okay? That you don't need to. We need to grow this market with advanced technology. It doesn't have to be just a race to the bottom and slimming down and meeting the lowest common denominator. That, in fact, if we turn this around quick enough and fast enough and green enough with enough savvy and skill, then we can actually grow market share. That's my view on it. All right, so I can't take a call on it? I don't have time? Okay, Chris, got a couple words quickly?
Well, I guess I wanted to stay on something, but you're not talking about the workers, especially Chrysler.
You know what? I will, if you will hold on. I have 30 seconds, but I'm happy to put you on hold and bring you on the other side because I just read that statement about the workers, so that's a timely call, Chris. And hang on, and we'll get you in. 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 646-2629 as we move along on the Nancy Skinner Show. Try to look on the bright side of the road. Boy, that's really meaningful. Bright side of the road. at the end of the road. On the Nancy Skinner Show. 1-888-64-NANCY. Not for long. And I'm talking about the auto industry. Not me. And me. I guess this is our double entendre moment. Looking at some headlines here. The Chrysler bankruptcy slams the state. Before I get back to your calls. Kind of news that no one cared. 76% of Americans said don't help the auto industries in a recent poll. Not a single dollar to the industry that created the middle class in America. I mean, it was the auto industry that formed the backbone of unions, that allowed unions to grow and prosper, that raised the wages, that made a middle class in America, which made us an economic superpower and therefore a world superpower. And it was the automotive industry. And here we are at the precipice of, and they made mistakes, obviously. I've said that lots of times. I ran for Congress on that. But they have this technology in the pipeline, young people who know that this needs to be transformed, who have turned these companies around, and here they are. Some banks, some hedge funds have started this process that I keep saying is not, it can't be good unless it is quick. And here it is. Chrysler bankruptcy slams the state. Three Metro Detroit plants, Sterling Heights, Detroit Axle, and that's big. Detroit Axle and Connor Assembly are to close by 2010, along with three other U.S. plants. Let's see. You have plants shutting down right now, Thursday afternoon, actually, because suppliers stopped shipping parts out of fear they won't be paid. According to a vice chairman of Chrysler, Tommy Lasorda, he said, suppliers have decided not to ship product. It's not in every facility. It was going to happen on Monday anyway, but they stopped shipping early. So they're, you know, just the headlines are just afraid that this is the ripple effect gets out of control. Suppliers affect General Motors. Now, obviously, workers are taking a big, big, big hit in all of this. And everybody else will, too. And that's just the way it is. And no one seems to really care. Chris was on the line before the break, and I'll bring you back in. Chris, you said it was the union workers who were taking the brunt of the hit here?
Well, of course they are. I mean, you don't see Obama letting the banking industry go down the tubes the same way. But you're talking about retirees who are going to lose their health care benefits, substantially reduce their benefits, who put in 30, 40 years or whatever they did, and they're going to end up with nothing.
They gave, let me just say, because I have, obviously been out there on national TV. And by the way, I'm on CNBC tonight at 8:45 talking. I think we're going to, get to this. But that I've been saying, everyone says the UAW, that they were made whole. Rush Limbaugh, I spent like 2 hours on this yesterday, said that the UAW was made whole while these other hedge fund capitalists were being ripped off. And I pointed out on the show yesterday that these hedge funds bought these discounted bonds from Chrysler at what we know is anywhere from 30 cents on the dollar to 60 cents on the dollar, and they were being offered 33 cents on the dollar, so they essentially were getting a pretty good deal. The UAW, as reported, has conceded $50 billion they were owed, like as in health care payments that were to be made to the VEBA fund and other payments, to $10 billion. So, talking about haircuts, the UAW took a way bigger haircut than those hedge fund holders. But also, hourly workers, their wages are getting cut back. Management's getting capped. I mean, everybody's taking...
Well, the UAW is probably the biggest partner in crime in this whole thing. I mean, they have came in and they undermined the workers, period. Okay,
undermine workers?
What about American Axle? They went in there and they negotiated a contract. They dropped their wages down to $14 an hour. Okay, guaranteed or supposedly guaranteed that their jobs were going to Mexico. And then they abandoned them. Okay, and now they're closing American Axle and they're going to move it to Mexico. Okay, they closed Chrysler down. Okay, where was UAW a while back telling these guys? Okay, we're going to stand up. Let's be solid on this, and let's give it to them, okay? No, it's nothing but scare tactics and keeping their own little jobs.
Well, the American Axle story is that they have said that they're not wholly shutting down and moving to Mexico, just so that we get the record straight, that there's some facilities that they are, but most of them here.
Some facilities, right. But...
I present the whole thing. But here's the problem, because I know Mr. Gettelfinger, and I'll tell you this: he got dealt a rotten hand. I'll tell you that, because the situation and past practices have been so bad that what choice does he have? If, as you say, Chris, if he just held firm, we're never going to concede anything, then the companies all just would have gone into bankruptcy and much sooner.
Where is the American government in this instance? Okay, I'm losing my train here, but
the American government, the president,
we're guaranteeing the banking Wall Street about $12.8 billion, okay, of our taxpayer money, okay, and these.
Well, it's actually more like. Trillions. Chris. It's much larger.
$12.8 trillion. You're right.
Yeah, you said billion. Okay.
And we're not supporting the automotive industry.
I think the president is. I think the president obviously is. He came out and tried to cut a deal and said that they're going to support Chrysler and support GM, that we have to have a manufacturer.
He let him go into bankruptcy. He's the one that pushed it in. The guys that are working this deal are nothing but a bunch of hedge fund people who go in and just break up companies.
That's okay. Those hedge funds are the ones who forced it into bankruptcy. So, Chris, I got to move along. 1-888-64 Nancy is the number to the program. I mean, look at how do you put this into perspective? Let's look at it from the perspective of the average American citizen. You had, Chris, you're making some good points in terms of the banks. Obviously, I've been saying this. The reason we had to go in and protect the banks from collapsing is because of, this is your short order. Remember this, okay, when I'm gone? Because it was all glass to go and the repeal of that. So all the money got mixed up in between banks and insurance companies and financial companies. So therefore, we're all on the hook. And because of all this free market laissez-faire repeal of all the regulations that had been in place, they were allowed to just go nuts and gamble with money and leverage to a hilt, okay? So we're all going to pay the price for that. I'm actually talking about on CNBC tonight. These banks, they had homes foreclosed on, you know, so they handed over. They were brand new homes or almost partially done, and they found it cheaper to actually bulldoze those homes than to restore them and sell them. And that's how upside down that market got and how crazy that got. But had he just done nothing, had the president done nothing, then you would have seen this continued free fall in housing values, okay? Even when it's not you, that's why it's so hard to explain this to people. But I always pay my mortgage. Yeah, but the guy next to you who is marginal loses his home, and then your value goes down. And due to no fault of your own, you may be upside down and lose your home. And that's the downward spiral that had to be stopped. When it comes to the manufacturing industry, you are right, Chris. There was always a double standard, I think. But luckily, despite the polls, President Obama has stood strong in saying we've got to restructure this industry. I mean, politicians don't go against a 76% poll rating. That is not, you know, you look at that and you do, you know, politicians in general, that number is almost like unstoppable. But he has. So I think he's given. I think that the auto companies have been acting in good faith. The UAW certainly has. This idea that I go out and fight the stupid $70 an hour wage, that's ridiculous. Never. It was a made-up number to begin with. It's everyone who's retired, all of their benefits piled on top of the current hourly wage. So, you know, there's been a lot of union bashing that's gone on. The companies aren't even union bashing. Everybody has really come together in this except for these hedge funds. Honestly, if I'm going to assess blame, that's it. Okay. Flo, did you see this lawyer? You said you saw this lawyer, Tom Luria, on Fox?
I was just reviewing my tape underneath. This was on Fox this morning.
Uh-huh.
This is Tom Luria.
Because I'm trying to get him on my show. You think the guy would have the guts to come on my show?
He doesn't answer questions because she tried to get him to say that he made public statements that aren't true. And he says, well, I'm not going to discuss that right now. But what really bothers me is he's talking about these death threats against the
hedge
creditors.
Funds. Mm-hmm.
And he wants these people to remain secretive. So I think there's a problem with that. You're going to bring down a company, put millions of people out of work, and it's going to be a secret. Nobody's going to know who you are.
Yeah.
And you know what I find very strange? Because Morgan Stanley lost $200,000 of my husband's hard-earned pension. From 33 years of rotating shift work, they could care less. And he's on there saying, oh, these creditors were people that had pensions and everything. They don't give one darn about people's pensions when they lose them in the stock market.
Yeah. These
the
folks,
Securities and Exchange didn't care under Harvey Pitt.
These were boutique investment firms, not pensioners, that were buying junk bonds.
It's just my opinion, but I think they have a bigger, something is behind this. Because they're going to lose everything, you know, if they liquidate, right?
Well, no, they think that they're going to get money out of their collateral assets, the plant and equipment. They think they're really going to get money out of it, and more than they would get.
Well,
so it's greed.
So.
That's what's behind it, Flo. It's just pure greed. I wish there was a better way of trying to find my Zen-like center, but it's greed. Okay, are you happy? People, get angry. Try it. I'm angry at these hedge fund people. Where greed is more important than their country. Because that's what this is about. Their country. Their fellow American citizens. That they would risk this for 30 cents on a dollar? To drag the rest of us through this? That, to me, is just greed.
Oh,
at a level that they should be exposed. Anonymous, my rear end. Because you don't do that. And it's just, if there is some bad, that's what they're worried about, Flo. Publicity to their companies. Oppenheimer Funds, Stairway Capital, we know those two names. They're worried about the funds getting a black eye because people know what they did. That's what they're worried about. And if you're going to do that and go to bankruptcy court and do this to the country, then that's got to be part of your calculation. The publicity that you're going to get from doing this is going to cost your company in terms of money. And that's what they're really worried about. So that's greed on top of greed. They couldn't figure it out. One more segment to go on the Nancy Skinner Show. Show 1-888-64-NANCY. Fair time, equal time for my supporters and my detractors. Okay, shall I indulge myself here with the supportive email I gave you? I wanted you to. I'm always equal. Let everyone have their digs at me plenty of times. So I just got this very touching email from Troy that said, I support you. So I had to read that. He said, Nancy, I'm not one to call into radio shows. So I suppose this is the best way to tell you I am 100% behind you, and I'm horribly depressed I won't hear you on anymore here in L.A. You've been a great beacon of reason on the radio. I am so very tired of the vitriolic negativity spewed all over the media, and you have been one of the very few that remains listenable. I completely agree with your statements that left-wing commentators empower the right simply by giving so much credence to them. Democrats, it seems, have an insatiable appetite to destroy their own advantageous position in government. I'm not afraid of the teabaggers. I'm not afraid of Limbaugh or Hannity or any of the hate mongers on the right. I'm afraid of liberals like Oberman who empower these people by constantly discussing them as if they were anything legitimate. Okay? He's not saying he doesn't like Keith Oberman. He's saying giving them undue attention. The best gift you bring to the discussion is your unwillingness to engage in anything other than rational, intelligent discourse. I think I have finally come to realize the right does not hold the monopoly on ignorance, and I feel so disheartened when I hear a hateful response to you from the left simply because you're willing to have a conversation with the other side. I would rather associate with an intelligent conservative than an ignorant liberal. That's a little harsh, Troy. Let's just say uneducated. Like you, I consider myself to be deeply progressive and fiercely loyal to the left. I have been politically active for many years, a champion of the number of progressive causes such as universal health care, gay rights, an end to the war, and economic justice. Also, like you, I've had my progressive credentials challenged simply because I support Obama's willingness to govern as an American and not an agent of the left. The worst part of the George Bush presidency was not his policies, although they were appalling. The worst part was the manner in which he chose to govern. He was not a statesman or a leader of any kind. He was a self-aggrandizing figure of the extreme right wing who chose to demonize the half of America who did not support him rather than listen to them. Why in God's name would we ever want to do the same thing? We must not demonize the right, or especially Republicans as a whole. This is the perfect time for a rational discussion because rational people are fleeing the Republican Party like a sinking ship. These people can be talked into supporting what we support. But when you have blowhards like Janine Garofalo on TV call all Republicans white supremacists, that does absolutely nothing to help our side. What it does is consolidate the right wing around the notion that they are being victimized from the left. The teabaggers are not a threat. Getting rational conservative moderates to sympathize with them actually is. I have no interest in getting into an ideological war. Republicans are not the enemy. Ignorance is. This country has room for all of us, and that's precisely what separates our ideology from theirs. We succeed if America succeeds. They succeed if America fails because of division. Anyway, you have my support always. I will buy your book and follow your career from this point on. Do not be discouraged. You have right on your side. Run for office again. You can have my money. Best of luck, always, Troy. And he writes, P.S., a BBA degree from Michigan is badass. Thank you, Troy. You've left me on a good note today. And now I'll go to L.A. and talk to Richard. Hi, Richard. Thanks for hanging on.
Thank you. It's really quite ironic because he had mentioned one of the adjectives that I just totally disliked with regards to the comments that you've received, totally negative, and that is vitriol. Everybody's got their right to an opinion. It's like kind of like everybody has butts, you know, everybody's got one. But I honestly find your views, looking at both sides of the coin, quite refreshing. I am going to look for you on the other side. But the vitriol from everybody, whether it's right or left, I think really hurts this country a great deal, and it's only going to tear us apart. It's not going to bring us together. And I think mm-hmm. you've done a wonderful job. And I do look forward to watching you on the TV as well as looking for you on other radio stations.
Well, thank you, Richard. You can catch me tonight on CNBC at 8:45. And then if you sign up on my website, whenever I'm on television or radio or whatever, we'll give you a little. We won't spam you. I promise that. We won't
do
that. It's just a notice. But thank you, Richard, for those kind words. I agree with you. I do. I really do. You know, that's really the challenge before us is maybe there's some common ground here. Maybe we can get through and let everyone else who just wants to duke it out, fine, that's fun and entertaining. But, you know, let's get some stuff done. You need to feel better about yourself and your life, and things won't seem so scary. I'm just saying. Oh, by the way. Governor Jennifer Granholm, Supreme Court nominee. I got my money on that. We shall see. I guess that's the short thing for everything, right? We shall see. Thanks a lot. I'm the Nancy Skinner Show.